Hey everyone! It's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life! As Susan Schillig and I chatted about all the fantastic quilts, crafts, and hobbies she does and wants to do, she made this statement, there's always another quilt to finish, and there's always another idea to create. You'll notice the excitement in her voice as you listen to her wonderful attitude. Susan, thank you for being on A Quilter's Life. Appreciate you being on.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Where were you born?
I was born in Youngstown, Ohio. My parents had moved there from Marietta, well, quite a little while ago now. and we lived there for not too very long. My dad worked in a steel mill in Youngstown, but we eventually moved out to Canfield, which is a little bit more in the country. It's not now, but it was then. And lived there, rented a little house there for a few years. And then when my one sister was born, that house was just too small, and they bought a place in North Jackson, which is where I grew up. It was in the country, I think was much more comfortable for my parents, having grown up in Marietta out in the country. You know, they were used to farming and land, and so having their 12 acres was, you know, a little bit of farming, even with Dad working at the steel mill.
Yeah, that's nice.
It is. It was. It was a nice place to grow up.
Do you have a special memory?
Well, fortunately, I can still remember quite a bit. Luckily, but we did have, you know, there was a lot of work to do on the little 12 acres. And with Dad working, sometimes, you know, we had to help a little bit with the farming, and I can remember taking care of the calves and trying to, they were weaned from their moms, and we were trying to get them to drink milk out of a bucket, and that was my job, to try to get them to drink milk out of the bucket, and most of them, you know, took to it pretty well, but we had this one black Angus calf that just was so frustrating, just didn't want to drink, and It felt like months. I'm sure it didn't take that long, but it felt like a long time before we could get that calf to drink. And we had, you know, enough place and enough fields and pastures to run around, and an old willow tree that had fallen partly down made a great playhouse. So it was fun times, too. I have lots of good memories. Summer, we spent sleeping out in the tent all summer. Well, it was, I think, about a month, but, you know, was pretty special. We got to camp out. It was right outside the door of the house, but was camping out.
Yeah. Fun.
Uh-huh.
Did you actually have a tent? I remember doing that with a cardboard box.
Well, we called it a tent. It was an old swing set that we laid on its side and then put a tarp. Dad rigged a tarp over it. So it was like a big kind of V, you know, it was kind of small on the one end and real wide open on the other, but it worked real well for our purposes.
Yeah.
And luckily we didn't ever get attacked by any wild animals or, you know, we slept pretty good in that tent for that month or so that we slept in it, so it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I know it's more hilly down here.
It is.
In Marietta, but you get the snow off the lakes.
Well,
there.
A little, not so much, a little bit in North Jackson. We always had plenty of snow. And our house, although there's no way you could call us living on a hill, but the house was up a little bit, which, you know, it was a little bit of a hill for sledding, at least when you were a small child, it seemed like a big hill. But nothing compared to when we go down to Marietta to visit my grandparents. And you're right. Those were real hills.
Yeah.
And we got to enjoy that as a child, too, being in the real, you know. It was nice to have grandparents still living in Marietta or out really Whipple area, you know, to be able to see the bigger, a little bit of a wider world, I guess, than our little flat 12 acres. But yes, it was, we did get some snow. In fact, one winter, I think my mom helped with this because I don't know how we could have designed it ourselves, but we built a little igloo. We had so much snow, and it was, you know, it has to be just right to be able to kind of cut it into like snow bricks. And I think it's the only one we ever were able to make, but I remember making a little snow igloo one time. And of course, you know, when you've got a few little chores to do on a farm in the wintertime, some of your memories weren't all good.
Yeah.
There's a frozen locks that had to be thawed out, or water dishes that, you know, you had to empty, ice out before you could give anything, give them fresh water. It was so cold, you know, to go out in the morning in the wintertime. But, you know, and the summer might be just be too hot. You go from one extreme to the next.
Yeah. So what did you do after high school?
Well, I went to college, and that's kind of an interesting story. I had wanted to go to college, and, you know, neither of my parents had gone to college, so this was a whole new experience for us. And I guess I was kind of fortunate that one day we were going to a livestock auction in Damascus, and there was a college just right down the road. So we stopped at the college, and that's where I ended up going to school, because it was the only one I really, you know, got to see. So different from today, where they, you know, you have a couple years ahead and you're checking them all out. But I kind of went to the first one I came to. But it was good. It's where I met my husband, and I got a degree in sociology, which one questions quite what one does with that kind of a degree. But when exactly, I know you're laughing. It's true. You do, because you need a degree in social work to really, you know, do anything with it. But
yeah,
I met my husband there, and we got married just about 6 months after we graduated, and moved to Elyria. And I was able to get a job with the Lorain County Jobs and Family Services now, but it was the food stamp department back then. So I worked there till my first daughter was born. And then I was a stay-at-home mom for a couple years and had another daughter. And then I went to work at the library, and the library is where I really, that was my career, I guess, even though I worked only 5 years full-time, but I worked 30 years altogether, close to 30 years, I guess, working in the library. And it was something I did in college. It was something I enjoyed in high school, going to the library. And so I got to do, you know, I got to work part-time for a real long time and a little bit of full-time work. And I did just about anything in the library at one time or another that you can do.
Yeah.
Because I was never a director. I did all the ordinary jobs.
There's a lot to do at the library.
There is a lot to do at the library. And a library's always been an important part of my life. It was important to me when the bookmobile came when I was a child in a little country school, and you could just get anything you wanted, you know, from the bookmobile and open up the world pretty wide by reading all the different kinds of things you could get at the library. So
yeah.
I ended up getting a master's then after I'd worked at the library for quite a long time. They had a program Kent had a program real close to me, and so I was able to get my master's in library science and work a little bit longer, and, you know, did reference and children's room and small branches, and I worked in all kind of different, even went out on the bookmobile one day at the library that I worked at. So it was. So now I'm retired and playing with grandchildren and gardening and playing with my chickens and my ducks and visiting my family and
So you mentioned chickens and ducks, so do you have a small farm also?
Well, you know, as the generations go away from the big farm in Whipple, our acreage decreases. A big farm for me is 3.5 acres.
Yeah.
It's plenty to keep a few chickens and a couple of ducks and a big, yeah, pretty good sized garden and some fruit trees and, you know, just enough to keep me a little bit out of trouble.
Yeah.
Get out in nature.
Sounds like plenty to keep you busy.
Oh, I do have plenty to keep me busy. There's just so many things to be interested in the world. It's hard to narrow it down, you know, to just doing one thing. So I've tried a little of this and a little of that, and like to cook and bake and make bread and, you know. All kinds of different fun things.
That sounds like a lot of hobbies.
I do have a lot of hobbies. Well, and I have some that have gone by the wayside. I decided one time I was going to make baskets because my cousin had made these woven baskets, and so I learned how to do that. And I made a basket for everybody, and then that was the end of that. Because I didn't need another big hobby because I've been quilting since I was young, and that all by itself will last me a lifetime.
Yeah.
Because there's always another quilt to finish, and there's always another idea to create.
Yeah.
So it's a hobby that kind of is above the rest. And I spend a good bit of time helping at the church and, you know, doing different things in the community, work in the elections. There's just so many opportunities to do stuff.
Yeah.
So
there's no reason for us to say we're bored.
No. Oh, gosh, no. I can remember as a kid I did, and I think, what was I thinking? There's absolutely no reason. Now, you might be tired. That's true. But you surely couldn't possibly be bored. Because there's always something you can do, some new thing to learn.
Yeah.
I think I like learning new things. So there's always some new thing I want to try. Just to see how it's going to turn out.
Do you have something in mind right now, that the next thing you're going to try?
Well, I've thought about doing some cheese making, but that requires a little better milk source than what I've got available to me. The whole dairy industry is a little tricky to deal with all the government rules. So in order to get good milk to make good cheese, I'm not quite sure how to go about that.
Hmm.
And I'm not likely to get a cow. I married a dairy farmer, I thought, but he is not wishing to be a dairy farmer. He's happy being an accountant. So having a cow here is probably just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I looked even into, they have miniature dairy cattle. I thought, well, miniature dairy cow, that sounds like a possibility, but it gives about the same amount of milk as a big one. What are you going to do with all that milk?
Yeah.
You know, 3 gallons of milk a day is hard for two people to use up.
Wow.
So I'll come up with something else. So, you know, I look in the seed catalog, find some new vegetables to try and new fruit trees to grow and new kind of animals to chickens to raise.
That'll
keep me busy.
Well, thinking about your quilting, who introduced you to quilting?
Well, I'd have to say it was my grandmother. My grandma quilted for as long as I can remember, and I have one of her quilts, actually, and another one that she helped, a couple of them that she helped with. But I started when I made my first 9 patch, I think I was about 8 years old, and I pieced it by hand. And I want to say I might have got onto the second 9 patch, and that's where that ended.
Mm-hmm.
That took a long time to make that one little 9 patch at age 8.
Yeah, and so by hand, too.
And by hand, it didn't get very far. So then I waited a while. My mom had always sewn. She made our clothes, and so there was bags of scraps in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a notion when I was in high school to make a quilt with some of these scraps. And I would have to say that this quilt is probably never going to win any award, but I still do have it. And it has been useful. It was a very useful quilt. It was kind of long stitch quilted. I think my mom and grandma quilted. I don't remember quilting it. I just put pieced the top together and they put a blanket in it and got some cheap fabric from Zayers. I remember that because it was 3 yards for a dollar and that was a real good deal. And I'm still quilting, but I'm not paying that price for fabric anymore. But it's held up all right, you know, good enough, and makes a good quilt to take to a picnic or whatever. But I finished that in high school, and then I didn't really do much until I went off to Kentucky, and I was working with a group in Kentucky, and they always had a quilt on the frame. And I can remember, you know, wanting my grandma to teach me how to quilt, and she'd say, well, you probably ought to use a thimble. Oh, Grandma, I can't use a thimble. Well, all right, she said, and that was the end of that. But when I got to Kentucky, and I wanted to quilt with these quilters, and they said, well, you must use a thimble. So that didn't give me any choice, you know. So I learned how to use a thimble, and I learned how to quilt. So I made a quilt, a small quilt, and gave it away. And then I started in on a larger quilt, bought the fabric when I was in Kentucky, and finished piecing the top my senior year in college on an old Singer sewing machine that weighs about the same as my current sewing machine, which is not that new either. But I hauled it off to college with me and sewed on this 8-point star quilt. Got it all pieced together, and I graduated in June with my class, but I actually finished about a quarter early. So I came home to work at that during that quarter, but I took a week's vacation before I started in working after I got through college, went to my grandma's and said I needed to quilt this quilt. And that's part of that story is actually in when we were talking to my Aunt Thelma. But we did that, quilted that quilt in 3.5 days.
Oh, wow.
My fingers were so sore. Now I just quit. Make it sore.
Is that the one where they said you kept checking underneath to see
what it
looked like?
Well, I might have checked a few times. I think she exaggerated a little bit, but it did look so pretty underneath. Yeah. It really looked pretty underneath. So you couldn't help it but check. But I can still remember Grandma saying, you quilt that tiny of stitches, you'll never get done. And she kept trying to urge me to quilt a little bigger stitches so that I could get finished. And we did get finished. And thankfully, my grandpa was still alive then. And I think he did a good bit of the cooking and, you know, kind of helped us along. Or we didn't ever, he didn't quilt, but he helped by doing everything else, you know.
Yeah.
Which was a big help. Yes, and then when I got married, I lived in a little apartment, and I started working on a quilt. You know, that was back in the day when you just did one at a time. So I started on a quilt there, which took a while to finish. But then I've been quilting my whole life. Like, so, you know, over 40 years. I'm older than that, but most of my quilting happened in the last 40 years. About the time of the bicentennial, you know, when everybody else got the quilting bug.
That's what I've heard.
Yes.
There was a resurgence then.
There definitely was, yes. Except you didn't have very good cotton fabric quite yet. It wasn't until the 80s that you started getting some nice cottons. They started manufacturing for quilting, you know.
Yeah.
So it was nice to finally get some good things to work with. And then, of course, the advent of the rotary cutter. My first quilt was a cereal box pattern that I traced and cut out with scissors.
Oh, neat.
And that's how we did it, you know.
Yeah.
You had to make sure you constructed that pattern well or it wouldn't work. But, and if you traced it cardboard too often, and fray so bad that you'd have a different size by the time you got done.
Yeah.
You had to kind of be careful that way. But things have changed so very much in quilting over the years that I've been doing it. But the rotary cutter, that had to have been a winner. I think it would have died. You know, there would have been this little resurgence in the 70s. And then about 10 years later, as was pretty common, then people would have just found something else to do. But they kept finding new and better tools for quilters, which, you know, we have to buy and use.
Do you have a favorite tool?
Well, I have a new tool. It's hard to say what the rotary cutter is just, you know, it's hard to beat that.
Yeah.
But I started out doing all hand quilted. Everything I quilted was by hand. And I still quilt, do some hand quilting, but I'm a lot more particular now about what I hand quilt and what I machine quilt.
Uh-huh.
So in the hopes of getting more projects finished, I just bought a Q20, which is a Bernina quilter. It's not like the big frame kind of things. It's just on a little table, but it gives you a lot more room to machine quilt. So that's my newest toy. And works pretty well. I can quilt a queen size quilt without too much trouble.
Neat.
Yeah, it is neat.
Do you have a favorite quilt that you've done or a favorite quilt pattern that you like?
Well, I have quilt patterns that I do over and over and over again. I've made several flower garden quilts. I made one for each of my daughters. I have 5 granddaughters and decided I'd do them for my 5 granddaughters. And each time I get a little easier, better, quicker, faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally have it to the point where I can piece the quilts pretty much on the machine and then I hand quilt them because they look pretty hand quilted. By the time I get done with the 5th flower garden, I think I'll be done with that pattern. I don't think I'm going to be too many more of those. I like the Lemoyne star, the 8-point star. That's a favorite of mine too. I've made several variations of that. I like to piece that Y seam construction. It's, you know, it goes together good when you know what you're doing, and I just like the stars. They look pretty.
Yeah.
They're pretty pattern. And you asked me something else. What was the other?
It was a favorite pattern, but also what's your favorite quilt?
My favorite quilt, and
some people have a favorite quilt, and then some people, when I asked that question, they went directly to a pattern they like. So I kind of jumped around there.
The favorite quilt is tricky, but I'll tell you my favorite quilt and why. My favorite quilt is the quilt that I quilted at my grandmother's. At my grandparents' house, because it was the last week I spent with my grandfather.
Oh.
He died just a couple months later. And I was accustomed to going down and spending vacations with my grandparents. And so it was very special to do that week.
Yeah.
Even though my fingers really hurt afterwards. It was just, and you know, my grandpa would tease me about my boyfriend and, that was back in the days where you sent letters to one another.
Yeah.
And I think I even got a letter from him that week. So I really got teased about that. But the quilt wasn't award-winning, but it was special for a different reason because there's so much memories in the putting of it together, which has always been important to me. Not finishing it, but the putting it together.
Yeah.
That's always been a special part of quilting for me.
Well, that kind of goes right into the next question of what's your favorite part of the process?
And that's the process, really. I like the planning. Generally, I like the piecing. I don't particularly care to cut it out, although that rotary cutter does help. I like the time. I like to listen to books while I'm sewing. So sometimes a quilt becomes a story. The story that I've been listening to goes along with that quilt. So it adds more meaning to the to the quilt when I can remember some of the books I listened to while I was working on it. But I really like the process. I have a friend who likes to finish things. He just gets a quilt, starts it, and finishes it. And I like quilts that take a little longer, that you don't finish right away. And not to worry, I have plenty that I have not finished. But I am ever endeavoring to get them done. But sometimes I like to hold on to not finishing it for a while, because it adds more story to the quilt.
Huh.
And then when then it's, so the binding on is probably the least favorite thing, because it's done. It's
okay.
Over.
Yeah.
You have to start something new. I always have something new to start, but but that's done.
There's almost a little sadness when
there is.
It's happy I finished, and yet it's like, oh,
right. And I am delighted I finished, especially if I'm hand quilting it. You get to the last turn on that frame, and you just are really eager to get done, because you can see that you're so close. But yet I like the long process. So sometimes I'll do things on purpose to drag it out. Plus, I'll want to put an applique border on, and applique is maybe not my favorite thing. So the quilts that require applique, many of them are not yet finished.
Okay.
Maybe I'm hoping to get better at it, perhaps, before I put that applique on. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or somebody else will do it.
You sound like your aunt.
Well, yes. We do maybe have a little bit in common. It may, just a little. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious. You're talking about you're still doing hand quilting. So are your stitches tiny or are they bigger now?
Well, they're not as tiny as they used to be. I still can quilt a pretty nice hand stitch. I used to be able to quilt with size 12 needles. And a size 12 needle will give you about the tiniest quilting stitch you'd ever want to see. But now I can't see a thread them. So that's a problem. And, as you get older, arthritis starts setting in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little harder to do. I think it's why I'm – one of the reasons I invested in doing – more machine quilting, because I know that that's kind of the writing on the wall, that eventually maybe I might not be able to do much hand quilting. So I'm kind of preparing for that, but I still love the look of a hand quilted quilt.
Mm-hmm.
So I still want to do a little bit. And so I am. The ones I pick and choose.
Yeah.
I can be more picky about it now.
Do you have a favorite color that you like to work with?
I like to work with a lot of colors. I can tell you that in my stash, until I had this one little grandson, I didn't have hardly any orange. So orange would have not been one of my favorite colors.
Mm-hmm.
But when your little grandchild's favorite color is orange, suddenly your stash blooms with orange. I'd have to say a green's probably my favorite. One of the reasons I love green is because you can take any shade of green and put it together in a quilt and looks fine. You can't do that with blue.
Hmm.
But you can do that with green. Just go into your quilt stash and just pull out a bunch of different greens. And you'll find that they don't look too bad together, even if they're just so very good. Even if they're blue greens and yellow greens, it doesn't matter. And I think it's because greens in nature are all different colors. And they look beautiful together in nature, so they look all right on my quilt, too.
Neat.
I'd say green is my favorite. But orange is starting to grow on me. A little bit.
Let's jump to, what was your worst quilting experience?
Wow. Well, I have two. I don't know which one would be worse. The first one that was bad was I used to quilt for other people And I was quilting an antique embroidered quilt top, a redwork quilt top, very well-woven cotton fabric. And it was in a frame, a scroll frame that you turned. The backing was not as well-woven. I quilted that whole quilt, and when I took it out of frame, it puckered. Because the backing had been pulled tighter than the top. And she was fine with it. You know, she was glad to just have it. But I was just appalled. It was a big lesson to learn. Just, you work so hard on something. You know, it's in a frame. I don't have them in just for a week or two. They're in for months. Mm-hmm. And you know, looked and studied and fingers got sore over that quilt, and then you pull it out and have it all pucker up like that. Oh, I was just sick. But then another one, now this one's solvable. And sadly, this quilting problem has happened more than once to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get the top and you know what size the top is and you get the backing, and you think, well, that should work. This is the right size backing. And if you're putting it in a quilting frame, you put the back in and then you layer the batting and the top over it. And you don't really, I don't pin them, like I would if I'm going to machine quilt with pins all over the thing. You just lay it there and you just keep scrolling it on. Twice now, I have gotten to the end of the backing and I still had top left.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, is right. So you have to take the whole thing out of the frame. So another piece of strip onto that backing, put it all back in, and finish quilting it. That is not a mistake you want to make too often.
No.
No. And you don't know until you get to the end. About the middle, you start worrying. And you keep turning and turning. You know, it's just like a kind of a scary book. You know, you keep getting to the part where you know it's really going to be scary. And every now and then you can breathe a sigh of relief and go, oh, wow, that one was the right size. And then every now and then it's like, oh, shoot. Unfortunately, it hasn't happened very often, but at times it does happen. It's quite memorable because it's just an awful mess to deal with.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, well, sadly, I can. It's not a memory you want to cling on to either. But it's something you don't want to forget. It means you want to make sure that you've measured that backing and got it the right size to begin with. I am starting to get a little more careful.
Why do you make quilts?
Well, you know, I make some of them to please myself. Because I have such a wonderful idea that I want to try. You know, I want to see if I can make it happen. Some I've been buying fabric for that I can't wait to start, but I told myself I'm not going to yet because I want to finish up some of the other stuff. But it's because I want to see what it'll look like. I'm anxious to make that tree of life. It's like a big, big tree, pine tree or tree kind of design, flat triangles. I can't wait to start that quilt, but I'm not going to do it because I want to finish some other things first. Mm-hmm. So I do some of it for me. Some of it is for mental health. You know, sometimes I've done some quilts where all I've done is just sew strips of fabric together. They're community service quilts. Usually they're just, you know, utility quilts. But sometimes you just need the mental health of just mindlessly sewing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. Quilting does that. And it's also wonderful to make something for someone. There's a lot of reasons why I quilt, probably why I've been doing it for 40 years. If it was just one reason, I probably would have stopped. But I have so many reasons to make. You know, I want my grandchildren to have quilts, and they do. And my, you know, daughters to have quilts. And I like to know that somebody who needs a quilt has a quilt. And it's art. It's also art, and everybody needs something to make their heart sing, and quilting does that for me.
That's neat. What's either a tip you like to give or a tip that you appreciate getting about quilting?
Well, that's a tough one. I think probably the best tip is measure twice and cut once, just like for woodworking. It's so easy to make a mistake. And I, you know, you have to buy a little extra fabric just in case. Even today, I'm working on a quilt backing for my niece's t-shirt quilt. And darn if I didn't cut a half inch, you know, too much on one. I had to cut a half inch off this one piece because I wasn't careful when I measured. And that can be a big problem. You know, the pieces don't fit together if they're not cut right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably my best advice is make sure you've got it right or buy a lot of extra fabric. I mean, that little half inch I cut off is going to make a nice tomato tie, but I got a lot of them already. I could probably stand to give a few tomato ties away. I keep throwing them in the bag for next year, but...
We have some property here in Davola.
Uh-huh.
And we like to, when a tree comes up on its own, a lot of times we would mark them.
Uh-huh.
And I had some bright pink material, and I was marking these new little trees. We put a stake by it and put that mm-hmm. there. And the squirrels kept getting them. So one time I saw two close together, and I marked the one and did not mark the other. The squirrel went and dug the one up that I had marked. They were looking for those pink.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I've never heard tell squirrels digging up trees.
Well, they wanted the nut that was underneath. Connected. It was still.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, small enough.
Yeah. That's how small they were. And they would pull that up, bake it off, take the nut, and lay the new shoot down on there.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just funny because when we tested it, sure enough,
they were looking for your fabric markers. That is hilarious.
Mm.
That is, yeah. Well, I try to use the scraps up. We put a lot of them go to dog beds too. You know, mm-hmm. the little scraps of fabric. I have a lady at our quilt group that collects them and makes dog beds out of them. So not a lot goes to waste.
Tell me about your quilt group.
Oh, okay. I belong to Lorain County Peacemakers, and it's been around since the, I think 80s anyway. Sometime in the 1980s it began. I didn't join it right then, but,
mm-hmm.
We meet monthly, and it's really nice right now because we have the hall where we meet the whole day. So we're able to go at 10 o'clock in the morning, and so... So the meeting starts if you want to.
Yeah.
It's nice to sometimes be away from home, away from distractions, to try to get some work done. So mm-hmm. that's kind of nice. And you get, learn new. We have speakers come and learn new techniques and new ways of doing things. And even though I've been quilting as long as I've been quilting, there's always something new out there. So it's nice to see the new things and. So, yeah, it's a good group. And then we have a Northeast Ohio Regional Quilt Council near Rock, which our guild belongs to, and they have a retreat in February every year. And I've been going for years and years and years to the retreat because if a day of sewing's nice, a whole weekend of sewing is even better.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
I always look forward to getting away and having somebody else deal with feeding me, and all I have to do is sit at my sewing machine and sew, and then go eat and come back and sew, and it's a nice little routine.
At the retreat, do they have a certain pattern that you're going to learn that year, or just whatever you want to bring?
Well, they have options. They have about a half a dozen classes that you can choose from, or they have what they call open sew. And I've done both. I like to take a class. If I see something I want to learn, I like to take a class. Sometimes all the classes are things that I either don't really care to learn right now or mm-hmm. I've already done. So
mm-hmm.
But that's how I learned how to machine quilt, through going to these classes, and learned about watercolor quilts, and learned about Y seam construction, and, you know, piecing those 8-point stars and hexagons. And so these classes have been very, very useful. I've done some Judy Niemeyer patterns with paper piecing, and I learned that at the getaways as well. But it's, you know, I've also done some just where I bring my own projects and try to get something done. A pretty good mix. And then you're there with about another 75 or 100 quilters, and fun to see what all they're doing. And
yeah.
Their color choices. And, you know, just nice to not always just see what you can think up, but it's nice to see what other people can think up too.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. It really is. I look forward to it every year. And one year my daughters came along too. And that was pretty exciting. It is. I like the fact that even though my daughters and my grandchildren are, you know, may never be the huge quilting fan that I am,
mm-hmm.
they all have dabbled in a little bit. The little granddaughters have got their sewing machine, and every time I come to visit, I have to rethread it or put the new bobbin in because they haven't figured that part out yet.
Yeah.
But they're sewing some 4 patches together, and maybe one of these days they'll get those together. And at ages 10 and 8, that's about all you can expect at this point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they're working at it a little bit, and they're having fun, and so that's good. It's the next generation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
It is. It's great. You know, I came from a huge quilting family. My grandmother quilted. My mom's mother quilted. My aunts quilted, some of them. And then I married into a quilting family. My husband's parents both quilted. And my parents both made quilts. So it's, you know, it's something that we've always had.
Mm-hmm.
Grandmothers, great-grandmothers, I don't know how far back probably, but far enough back that, you know, it must be in our blood a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a gene attached to it. But certainly there must have been over time a little bit of a love of doing it, because
yeah.
it seems to be carrying on some.
That's so cool.
It is fun.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with me. I so appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Paula. It's my pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of A Quilter's Life. You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Thanks for listening.